This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, together with Tishao Eek and Kelly Anissa. We're looking at the new National Wage Index that was just released on Tuesday and exploring how it might also affect employment opportunities for women. And after this, we're going to check out how it might affect senior citizens and the disabled. But before that, we have a caller on the line. Hi, Adeli, can you hear me? Hello. Hello, Adeli, can you hear me? All right, I think we may have lost him. We'll try. Hopefully, if you're listening, do call us back. Anyway, so on to our next story. Our minister, as we mentioned, our Minister of Human Resources has also said that the government would focus on increasing participation of not only women, as we discussed earlier, but also retirees above 60, so and disabled persons in the labour force as well.
So he also said that he, we should not allow the experience of older workers to go to waste as they still have much to contribute to economic growth. He added that the government would study Singapore's model to allow retirees to work again.
What is Singapore's model, right? We look at Singapore obviously has a fast aging population due to their longer life expectancies and their low birth rates. And this is changing the roles that older workers play in economy. So many employers are turning to older workers as a solution to manpower needs. And hey, good news, older workers are rising to the challenge. This is, of course, motivated by their own desire to remain in the workforce while, trying to overturn stereotypes around aging.
Yes, so statistics from the Singapore's Manpower Ministry showed that labour force participation rate, which measures the percentage of the population who are either working or looking for a job, for workers aged 65 and above was 14.3% in 2006, and this rose to 26.8% in 2017. And so this kind of puts Singapore at the top end of the International League of Older Workers. Mm. That sounds interesting. In 2016, Japan, a country...
There should be a league, actually, just think about that.
The League of Older Workers. In 2016, Japan, a country which has one of the fastest aging populations in the world, had a labour force participation rate of 22.8% for 2015, and for those aged 65 and up. And in South Korea, the number stood at 31.5%.
Wow.
Yeah, so while Iceland topped the charts for the developed economies.
But helping senior workers work longer and take on meaningful jobs has to come with significant adjustments from not only the government, but also employers and their colleagues.
And the Singaporean government is actively pushing for the elderly to keep on working. So in 2012, it introduced the policy of re-employment to encourage their citizens to continue working beyond the official retirement age of 62, while giving employers the flexibility to decide who they wish to retain and the terms of their retention. So we spoke to Datuk Haji Shamsuddin Bardan, President of the Malaysian Employers Federation, earlier today. What are some of the major barriers facing the elderly and returning retirees in our workplace?
Of course, basically, when you're talking about elder workforce and retirees, the mindset of the society towards these people continue working is something that I think need to change. And really, the society doesn't look at retirees and older workforce still working in the labour market as something that should be avoided. And especially for those people at the lower end category. We don't have so much problem about retirees and the older workforce working at the management level. But at the low-end category, I think there are some issues within that. And also the fact that for the older workforce, the issue of whether they are able to adapt and adopt the new work environment also can be very, very challenging to them.
So what value do employers get from hiring retirees, and how does the wage index help employers to decide how much to pay them?
Now, we know that the people who are categorized as the older workforce and retirees, they have, I would say, with them a long career history. And of course, in that way, they are very skillful. Yeah, And this is, I think, something that may not be available in the younger generation. Yeah, and of course, when they are skillful, we expect them to be more productive, even though they may be less energetic as compared to the younger workforce. Yeah, the wage index basically will give the what is the market value of certain job. And of course, this can be used by the employer to determine whether whatever they are paying currently is within the market practice, or whether they are paying too high, whether they are paying too low, or whether they are just somewhere there. So employers, of course, need to look at the wages index and decide for themselves whether whatever they are paying is within the market range, so that they can be able to attract workers to still remain with them and also retain them for a longer period.
Do you think Singapore's model can be applied to Malaysia?
I think very well, because Singapore had actually encouraged their workers to still remain in the workforce, even initially up to 65 years, and now I understand they had adopted 67 years, and their retirement age officially is at 62 years. Yeah? And of course, we can see that in the Singapore context, there are more, I would say, the grey-haired people that are in their labour force. For example, at their airports, yeah, it is not manned by young people like what we have at our Kuala Lumpur airport. Yeah, and of course, these are something that the government need to think about the policy on how to encourage more of the older workforce to still be active in the labour market. But obviously, they need to be assisted with technology and automation, so that, you know, whatever is the lack in their physical capacity can be complemented with machine. Yeah. So, and this is a critical part for them to be able to discharge their duties effectively.
So since we're discussing Singapore's guidelines for the elderly, we can also look to their approach for the disabled as well. In Singapore, about 2,000 employers who hired 3,200 disabled workers in the first 6 months of 2012 received wage subsidies. Mm-hmm. This came under a government fund that was set up to encourage the hiring of older and disabled workers.
Yeah, so they benefit from the Special Employment Credit Program, in which the government pays up to 16% of the salary of workers with physical or intellectual disabilities. But that's for those earning up to $4,000 a month. So some voluntary welfare organisations catering to the disabled are also seeing more companies keen to hire their clients. Mm.
So we spoke to V. Murugeswaran, President of Damai Disabled Persons Association Malaysia. What are the barriers facing people with disabilities in our workforce?
Of course, the barriers is the walkways barriers, bus stop barriers, accessible transport barriers. And once they get down from the bus or the taxis, for them to move from the station to the workplace. Yeah, when you are in a workplace, definitely there are loads and loads of barriers there. In a workplace, usually the barriers will be for him to grow. Mm-hmm. What I mean is, because there will be always a situation where you will be able to grow. Which means you need to perform well for you to grow. In order for you to perform well, things that provided, of course, the tools, the softwares, the equipment, the environment, all these things should be made friendly so that everyone can use it, including people who has a disabilities. For example, let's say you hire a person who's on a wheelchair, you must make sure that the work environment for him to move around, for him to mingle around, for him to go to a different department, there is no obstacle. Because in that way, he can actually go and meet people, to talk to them, to make friends, so that, you know, he can also perform well in this company. MNC company, I find it, you know, in terms of wages, they don't have much differences in terms of wages. But when it comes to the local companies, they always want to hire people with disability for a low pay. That's the main reason. And even though they give the same task that they give to the able body, but when it comes to a person with disability, they tend to, give them a different salary. Yeah, that should not be the way. But with this, I think, of course, if the government can come in and monitor all these things and give him the salary that he deserves, that would be a good thing.
And what are the issues faced by people with disabilities in regards to remuneration? Are their salaries based on their skills? And, you know, how do you think the wage index will be applied to them?
A lot of disabled out there, they find it very difficult to cope up with this. A lot of new things are happening, and they cannot, challenge people who are not disabled, and therefore they tend to leave the job. So what I'm saying is the government need to come in and monitor to make sure that that person, is a disabled person, is being paid correctly. But if they think that it's not being paid well, and they must be able to tell the company that they're working, or it's the Human Resource Ministry, together with the HRDF, they can actually come up with some kind of a training that can give a lot of confidence for the person to grow. You see, every company, MNC company, they don't care. They pay you according to the work that you do. You're disabled, not disabled, performance are very key points there. You see, everywhere, it is a global rules. You know, people pay you for what you do. See, they don't pay you because you are disabled, you don't have one leg, so that they pay you money. That is not wages, actually. That is charity. If they give you money for something that you don't do, that is charity. If they give you money something that you do, then that is a salary, they call wages. So in order for you to get bigger pay, then it's definitely you need to upgrade your skill and also to upgrade your performance in order for you to get the fair play wages in the market. A multinational company, usually they pay according to your performance. Mm-hmm. When you work hard, they see you working hard, you can deliver, they pay you. There's no differences with an able body and a disabled body. It's all about performance. So in order for you to perform, of course, the fair play platform should be there.
So what else can we do to encourage the disabled to come back to the workforce?
Definitely, you need training, you need advertisement, you need seminars, you need a program conducted by the local government and also the federal government. The Human Resource Ministry plays a major role. They need to come up with a campaign. Balik bekerja untuk orang kurang upaya, something like that. You know, for a year run, let them run that program, you know, seriously. If you don't do that, then it's going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, so, I mean, some very good points there because mm-hmm. We do know that people with disabilities tend to get paid a lot lower mm-hmm. because of the jobs that they do. They are very low-skilled jobs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know, what do you think? Should these guidelines in the wage index be made compulsory, especially for groups of people who may be more vulnerable to being exploited? You know, for example, the elderly or even retirees or the disabled?
I mean, The index is an index. That's all that it's supposed to be. And it has already been acknowledged that it's just a guide. You know, what we need is legislation accompanying it. You know, we need laws against discrimination. We have a People with Disabilities Act, but it's been criticized for being very poor on monitoring and enforcement of violations of the points within the Act. We need laws that mandate equal pay. We don't have that in Malaysia. So mm-hmm. even that applies for gender pay gap as well. So I think the index is a good starting point with that. And if we can have more nuanced data, then we can demand for legislation to address the weaknesses.
Yeah, I'm just speaking from my father's experience. You know, when he got back into the workforce, wow, his employers just took him for a ride. You know, and because he felt, you know, I'm an old man now. I, you know, it's great that someone is willing to hire me. Mm. So he settled for so much less than, you know, he was being paid before, mm-hmm. or that he should have been paid for the amount of work given to him. And it was a high-skill job. It was accounts, you know, so doing companies' accounts and, you know, clearing complete messes and things like that. But, you know, the salary did not commensurate with, you know, the work that he was doing. So it was really bad. So I really do hope some, and I'm sure he's not alone, I do hope some legislation comes into place.
Yeah, and like they previously mentioned, I think we need training, especially for those who are returning to the workforce, right? Especially, I think, for the elderly, especially if they have been, you know, they've taken a very long break in between, you know, from coming back to work again, especially using these computers and these new programs, they might not be so...
Technological advances,
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't even want to call them the elderly. I mean, they've just retired from perhaps whatever was their earlier career. And, you know, they have many years ahead of them. You can have a second, third, fourth career. You can choose different kinds of jobs to do. You can explore things that perhaps you wanted to do in the past, but because you were stuck in that job. And now is the chance for you to explore those different sectors, perhaps.
And I think also, you know, for seniors, for the disabled, to know their worth and to you know, not to feel like, okay, if just being given a job is a gift.
And that you should be grateful for the scraps you're given.
No, and you should, you know, demand. I suppose there is that fear, of course, that, you know, if they are considered demanding, I'm using air quotes here, then they won't get the job, for example. So I guess employers really need to look at the wealth that, you know, they can bring to the company, just like, you know, the same as bringing women back into the workforce. So anyway, a quick check on our Twitter poll. How is it going, Kelly?
So we asked you on Twitter, what do you believe to be the main cause of the gender pay gap? Is it because women are family caregivers? They tend to work part-time? They face barriers to progress? Or is the gender pay gap a myth? So 40% of you answered that the gender pay gap is a myth. 35% said they face barriers to progress, while 24% of you said that it's because they are family caregivers. So Dr. Liana Khairuddin replied to us and said that we missed out on the patriarchy.
I would say patriarchy underscores all the issues that women face. The reason that women are family caregivers, the reason women have to work part-time, the reason there's a glass ceiling is because of patriarchy. But, it's a good point. It's I think what pushes back against the other 40% who think that gender pay gap is a myth.
And also, you know, it is not exactly a myth because the Salary and Wages Survey Report of 2016, which was released by the Department of Statistics Malaysia, said that not only is the pay gap real, there is even a mismatched perception of the gender pay gap. So I think that makes a lot of sense in this situation.
Exactly what we see there, right? The perception.
Yeah, so and the study basically showed that on average, women in Malaysia get paid 79 cent to a ringgit earned by men. Anyway, so that's all we have for today's show. You can keep the conversation going. You can always tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. Or you can follow us on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture. If you miss any part of this show, you can always download the podcast on the BFM app or at bfm.my or even on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m., it's Live and Learn with Sharmila Gunnison, who will be speaking to academic Dr. Muhammad Nawab Muhammad Osman about how Dato' Sri Najib Tun Razak has been reinventing himself by using popular language terms. I think we've all seen those Bosku pictures everywhere. Rather infuriating. Terms that we incidentally covered on our show yesterday for the Daily Digest. You can also find that podcast on all the places that I mentioned earlier. Thank you for listening. This has been the Daily Digest. For now, it's the Beatles with Hard Day's Night.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.